Well, it seems as though hope is in short supply these days in our world. And we truly need it. We've talked about it this morning. We're going to talk about it a little bit more in the message today. We're starting this new series that's called God With Us. It's based out of Matthew 1:23, which actually, what happened was the angel came and talked to Joseph, if you know the Christmas story, and told Joseph he was trying to think about ways to maybe put Mary away quietly because she had become pregnant as a virgin. And so he's trying to figure all this out. And so one night, the angel came to him in a dream and said that, you know, that he shouldn't do this, that Mary was pregnant supernaturally, and that this was the Son of God, and that it was Jesus, and he would take away the sins of the world. And Matthew says in there that this all occurred to fulfill a word of prophecy from Isaiah. Here's what he says in 23. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And we're going to, for the next 3 weeks, this today and next week and the next week, we're gonna talk about what it means for God to be with us, because there are all kinds of places in the Bible where God reminds us again and again and again that he is with us. And then the Sunday right before Christmas, we're going to really hone in on this scripture itself and dig into it a little deeper and figure out what it means. Now, for a lot of us who are Christ followers, I mean, it's easy to believe that God's with us, right? I mean, especially when things are going good, right? I mean, when you're on the mountain, like you get a raise at work, and you go, man, wow, God must be with me. This is really good. Or, you know, it's easy to believe when, you know, the baby sleeps for the first time through the night. I promise, pools, it will happen one day. But, you know, it's a great thing. And you go, wow, man, God must be with us because the baby slept through the night. Or, you know, God is so good. I went out Friday, Black Friday shopping. I got Uncle George these pair of slippers that were 90% off. And I got the last pair of XXXL. So, great thing. That was a joke, you know. You guys got a little bit of turkey hangover, huh? All right. I'll tell you what, I got way too much cream gravy flowing in my veins today. But anyway, or you know what? He gave me that parking spot. I went to Kohl's, you know, the place where the pastor's wife always gets the free Kohl's cash. And I got a parking space right in the front by the door. God must be with me. Because it's easy to sense the presence of God when things are going good and things are going our way, right? But it's sometimes more difficult to sense his presence when you're in the valley. When things aren't going the way you want them to go, when you get the bad news, when you get the bad phone call, when you're hurting, maybe when you feel a little bit alone, maybe when you feel a little bit isolated, or you're worried, or you're afraid, or you're battling depression, or you got bad news at the doctor's office. It's then you know what we ask? Where is God? I felt, when I'm on the mountain, I feel him so near, but when I'm in the valley, it's like, I don't know where he is. Sometimes we even begin to think that God must be against me. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been thinking God must be against you for something you did or something you didn't do. I want to talk to you today about how God is with us in the valleys. It's interesting to me how often you can be in the mountaintop in so many areas of your life, but then something happens bad in one area of your life, you're in the valley, and it just sucks you down. You know what I mean? Like your marriage is going great, everything's super in your life, but maybe you got a kid who's making bad decisions and poor decisions, and it's driving you nuts, and that can so weigh you down. Or maybe you're doing well, and you seem like everything's going good in your life at school and everything else, and your parents are kind of wackadoodle. That's a theological term. I'll have to explain it to you another time. But, man, and you're just like, it can drag you down, right? Or maybe, you know, you're really close to God and you sense God's presence, but at the same time, they're doing layoffs at work and you're worried about your job. Well, what am I going to do about my job? You're really, really excited about the holidays with getting family together, but then somebody gets a bad phone call and there's bad medical news about somebody and you just sense the temper it a little bit. Maybe everything else is going well, and then you'd struggle with depression, or you'd feel isolated, And it just seems to like a black hole. It just sucks everything into it. When you look at Scripture, the metaphor of a valley can represent several things in our lives. You see, valleys were often where battles took place. If you read the Bible, that's where valleys, and valleys is where battles and large conflicts happen. And some of you right now, you may be feeling that. Valleys are places, they represented seasons of desperation, seasons of loneliness. But it's also interesting that a valley is also a time of growth, a time when you can come on the other side of the valley. If you can survive it, if you can live through it, you come out stronger, right? You know the old thing, you know the old saying that, you know, whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. So many ways we relate to God on the mountaintop, but it's different in the valley in relating to God. Fact is, we may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him intimately in the valleys. We may know him, enjoy him when times are really good and things are really going well, but we get to know him in a different way when we're in the valleys. And Psalm 84 expresses this. And if you've ever read through Psalm 84, chances are you may have read right past these verses we're about to talk about, or maybe you read them and you didn't really think about them and they didn't make sense to you. But here's what Psalm 84, beginning with verse 5, says. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Now you look at that scripture and you think about, so what is the valley of Baca? Scholars don't really know because there wasn't a valley named that. They believe that word Baca is related to a tree. And so rather than talk about a specific valley, he's talking about a type of valley that we go through sometimes. And this tree is a pretty amazing one. This tree would ooze out sap. And if you walk by this tree, people said that it was a weeper, you know, because you looked at it, it looked like it was crying all the time. And so that's why the Valley of Baca is translated in different ways in the scripture. Sometimes it's translated as the Valley of Tears. Sometimes it's translated as the Valley of Weeping. In some places, it is translated as the Valley of Loss. You know what I'm talking about? You may not know where it is, but I bet all of us at some time in our life have experienced it, if some of us aren't in it now. Anytime you see a valley in the Bible, you would also see a place that was dangerous. Like, Valleys were known for being thorny. They were known for wild animals. And just imagine the most terrifying animal, like cats. Cats are Satan's animal. Nobody got up. I hate cats. But they're vicious animals in the valley. And people often in the valley, robbers hid. You very rarely made it through a valley without something bad happening to you. And this is why the psalmist says in verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is found in God. If you're not a follower of Jesus, there are probably chances in your life that there are times you just say, you know what, I've had enough. I'm worn out. I can't take anymore. I can't do it anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. In the words of that famous theologian, Jackson Brown, I'm running on empty, running into the sun, and I'm running behind, and you just feel like I'm never going to catch up. And the truth is, if you don't know God intimately, then what you have is what you have. Whatever you got is what you got. And when you run out of it, you find yourself empty. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, for those of us who have a relationship with God, we believe that there's a strength that goes beyond what we have, right? We have access to a heavenly strength. That's why the psalmist says, blessed are those whose strength is found in you, found in God. Because we believe that when we get to the end of our strength, there is still more strength that he gives. That when we get to the end of all our power and all our ability, there is something there that God gives to us. When we come to the end of ourselves, it's not over with because God's strength lives in us. Amen? So for you and I, it's different. His strength, we know as followers of Jesus, is made perfect in weakness. His strength, Scripture says, is absolutely perfect in our weakness. And if you're in the middle of a valley right now, you have access to a very real and ever-present good God who is available and ready to come to assist you in your time of need. And the text doesn't say, blessed are those who can make it on their own. The text doesn't say, blessed are those who pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are really determined, who have a lot of determination and a lot of friends around them and a lot of things to get them by. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in God. One of the big problems in our world today is we idolize a spirit of independence. Believe me, I know. I grew up in Texas, so there's a lot of independence. I don't want anybody. I don't need anybody. I don't want to depend on anyone because people always let you down. I want to be financially independent. I want to be completely good on my own. I don't want to have to trust in people, right? Because people mess things up and people let you down. I don't need anybody. Here's the thing. We were not created to be independent. We were created by God to depend on Him and to depend on others. In other words, you weren't made to go it alone. And you weren't made to depend only on your strength. Blessed are you when you realize you are dependent and you have access to a power greater than yourself. And some of you, you need to lean into it. You just need to admit it. I don't have what it takes. I need His presence. I need that strength that is only found in God, because that's the only way I'm going to get through this. Man, I've been there. A lot of you have been there, where it was just, that's the only thing we had, the only strength we had is what God gave to us to get through. I want to show you verse 5 in a different translation, the NLT. I love the way it puts it. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who've set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. I love that. We're on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Some translations say Zion. And really what it's trying to say is we're on our way. Jerusalem was a city of refuge. And I know in our culture today we hear a lot about cities of refuge because of the immigration issue and all of those things. But this was a city of refuge. This is where I'm going. This is not my stopping place in the valley. We are going to a place that they call a place of peace. One commentator said this about what the psalmist is trying to tell us. To get to the city of refuge, you have to travel through the valley of tears. And I like that imagery. Sometimes to get where you really appreciate the presence and the power of God, you've got to go through the valley, when I know a lot of times we just want to go around it if we can. In order to push through the pain of the valley, you have to set your mind towards God. What you think about matters so much, but especially when you're in the valley. You know, there's many places in the New Testament where it talks about this, right? Paul says this to the Colossians. He says, set your mind on things above and not on things below. To the Philippians, he said this, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy or admirable or lovely, think about such things. Where you are is one thing. Where you set your mind on is another. Where you are is one thing, but where you set your mind, where you're going and where you set your mind to and what you're focused on is another. My parents, you know, live in Texas, and we've been away for over 30 years now because God doesn't think it's a good idea for me to pastor in Texas, and He has me other places. A long time we lived in St. Louis, and it was a long drive to either Louisiana for loose folks or mine. You know what makes me push through when I'm doing that 9-10 hour drive? What made me push through was what was on the other end. My mama makes some of the best fried chicken you'd ever taste. And you know what? It don't matter if it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, Labor Day. Mom will cook chicken for her little boy. That's me. And so, you know what gets me through those long drives? It's what I know is waiting on the other end. I'm not on the interstate in the middle of Arkansas. I'm headed towards a destination. When you're a kid, that's hard, right? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you're like going, please, just think about where we're going, not about where we are, right? And some of us, in order to push through the pain, in order to push through the struggle, in order to get through the valley, you have to set your mind on where you're headed. Because if you focus on what's around you, You're gonna lose your focus. You got to set your mind on God. Your heart may be racing, but your mind is set on God. Your soul may be aching, but your mind is set on God. Your emotions, they may be running all over the place, but your mind is fixed on God. There may be fear, there may be discouragement, all, but your mind is set on God. He is with me. He is for me. Greater is the one who is in me than he who's in the world. My God is going before me to prepare a way, the Bible says. His spirit gives me strength when I'm weak. I need him every moment of every day. His words are a lamp unto my feet. You know what that indicates? You know why you need a lamp to your for your feet? So when you're in the darkness and when you're in the difficult situation, you can see where you're going because you're not stopping here. We're moving forward through this valley. We're on a destination. We're on a trip. I may be in the valley, but my mind is set on the kingdom of God and on where I'm going, not where I am. And too often, too many of us get stuck. You know what we do? We get in the valley and we wander around complaining and grousing and fussing and why am I here and why am I going through this and why can't I get out of this and why in the world did this happen to me? What did I do? Where are you, God? We're just running around in circles in the valley. Verse 6 says this, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. In other words, we may be in the valley, but the valley is not, we're still passing through. We're still headed somewhere. And along my journey and along my way, I'm waiting on God to do something. I'm believing God's going to do something to get me through the valley. It reminds me of Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God is with me in the valley. I'm going to walk in the valley of the shadow of death. I may be in the valley, but I'm just passing through. I may be going through a difficult time, but God's not through with me yet. I may be hurting right now, but I'm not going to be hurting forever. I want to tell you this morning, if you're hurting today, whether that's emotionally or physically or whatever it may be, it won't last forever. Amen? I'm grateful for the four of you. Listen. We got to live into these things. God says, man, my presence is with you. I may be in a dark place right now, but we're just passing through the valley of weeping. We're just passing through the valley of tears. I know you want it to go away, but oftentimes for you and I, what we have to realize is that God may show us that the way is through the valley, not out of the valley. That we got to get through this. That the most important thing is that we endure and get through this. That the road to the path of peace is often just passing through. I love the next phrase. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The King James says that they make it a place, they make it a well. In other words, when you're in a dry place, like a valley, what do? You dig a well. You dig a hole. You dig a spring. You clear away a container for the provision of rain that God's going to provide to get you through. God hasn't sent it yet. It's dry right now, but when you're dry and when you're hurting, you have to make room for the presence of God. You hear me this morning? If you're dry and if you're hurting this morning, you've got to make room for the presence and the provision of God in your life. You make a well. Hadn't rained yet. But I know my God will provide, and so I'm gonna prepare a container for the presence and the provision of God that's gonna get me through. You make a well, you make a spring. It's almost as if God says something like this: I want you to dig a hole, make a well, make a spring, so that and if you'll show me your faith in me to come and help you and get you through this, I'll show you my faithfulness. If you dig, I'll fill it. If you prepare for me, I'll show up. If you'll show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. Oftentimes, and sometimes in the scripture, when you read about Jesus in the New Testament, I'm amazed sometimes. Sometimes Jesus just speaks a word and a miracle happens, but there's many times that Jesus tells people, I need you to do this. And he asks them, like for instance, there's a guy with a withered hand. And instead of Jesus just said, hey, I'm going to heal you. What does he say to the man? He says, stretch your hand out and I'll heal you. You show me that you believe in me, and I'll show you what I can do. A man who couldn't walk for 38 years. Jesus didn't just say, hey, Shazam, you're healed. Shazam's not in the Bible, okay? So don't look for it. Shazam, you're healed. It's just like, man, instantly, he said, take up your mat. You get up, you try to get up, and you show me you believe that I can make you walk. And if you show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. And I don't know who I'm going to speak to this morning that needs to hear this, but if you dig it, he will fill it. If you plant it, he'll grow it. If you plant your, you can't plant your, you got to plant your seed before you can have a harvest. If you pray it, God will hear your prayer. If you prepare, God will reveal himself. And when you're in a dry, dry place and you're waiting on God, you've got to prepare for the power and the provision of God. If you show me your faith, I'll show you my faithfulness. There's so many if promises of God in the Bible when you think about it. If you draw near to me, what's God say? I'll draw near to you. You show me that you believe and I'll show you my presence. If you seek me, you will find me. If you make room for me, I'll reveal myself to you. And there's somebody here this morning, you haven't sensed the presence of God in a long time. And maybe what you need to do is dig a well to get ready, to invite his presence and his power to be poured out upon you. It's time to say, God, I'm going to wait for your presence. I'm going to prepare for you, for your provision and for your presence, because if you dig, he'll fill it. I want you to think about this. You know what? God rarely reveals himself to people who are rushed. Imagine Moses for just a minute, right? He's going down the interstate, 75 miles an hour. Okay, turnpike, 75. So we really go 80, right, most of you. And so we're going 80 miles an hour down the turnpike, and here Moses, he sees a burning bush, and it's not burning. You know, it's burning, but it's not like, it's the same. It's burning, but it's not burning. And so he tries to take a picture to get it on Instagram, and, you know, it's probably all blurry and everything, and, you know, hashtag burning bush, but not burning, and everything else. Do you know what God invited Moses to do when he saw the burning bush? Take off his shoes and stay a while. Sit with me. Slow down. Everything in your life for the next 24 days till Christmas is going to scream, go, 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 go. When everything that's about Advent says, just wait, 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 wait. Slow down. Slow down and listen. Slow down and let me speak. Slow down and let me work in you. Be still and know that I am God. Make a well and let me fill it. Make a preparation for me to come. Are you ready? You won't really be ready for Christmas until you make room for him in your heart and in your life. It's just time to prepare. Maybe that's what it is for us as a church. You ever thought about that? Maybe God's getting ready to do something, and instead of us wringing our hands and worrying about this and worrying about that, God just says, I just want you to dig a hole. Dig a well. Wait on me. Prepare for what I'm about to pour out on you. My power and my provision is yours. Maybe it's that way in your family. Maybe it's that way in those kids that you're praying for, or those grandkids you're praying for, or those parents you're praying for. Maybe it's that way about your finances. God just wait on you. You trust me. That's what we do when we tithe. You trust me, and you watch what I'll do. You show me faith, and I'll be faithful to you like you can't imagine. We enjoy so much on the mountain, but we get to know him intimately in the valleys. And here's what I hope you'll understand. God never promised that you would never go through a valley. God never promised you would never go through a valley, but he promised you that he would never leave you. He promised you that you would never have to go through a valley alone. You will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The psalmist started off saying, blessed are those whose strength is found in you. And at the end of the passage that we read, he says, they go from strength to strength. You know what that means? That means you get up tomorrow. You get up tomorrow and you say, you know what? I got no strength for this, Lord. Give me strength for today. And then you get up on Tuesday and you say, I don't have it. Lord, I need. And you go step by step by step. You go from strength to strength to strength. The Bible says God's mercies are new when? New every morning. God has the strength you need. And it's in a progression. And I know we just like to get it all at once. And if we did, we'd probably spend it all at once. But God gives you enough to take the step by step by step. When you're in the valley, we go from strength to strength. Not our strength, but his strength. And we may enjoy him on the mountaintops, but we really get to know him in the valley. And we sense him and we depend on him in a way that we could never even, you can't even until you have to go through that and depend on him completely. It's hard to know what it is. Last weekend, our daughter dedicated her daughter, her and her husband, Brianna and Michael John. We call him Michael John, not because we're getting on to him all the time, but even though he is an in-law. But, you know, my son's Michael, and it gets very confusing. So Michael John and Brianna dedicated Brylin. And we were watching her some during the week, and I was thinking about my sermon. And Brylin just turned one yesterday. And so it was a big thing, and she was very polite about the cake smash thing, none of this cake everywhere. She was just, nope, nope, you know, and so it was really good. But she crawls so fast that I'm thought about entering her in a baby race if I could find one somewhere, because she is really quick. And but she's still very much dependent on us. I mean, she crawls, and she and I understand one another, and we talk baby talk, goo goo ga ba ba gee ga ga goo, and no, I wasn't speaking in tongues, okay? So, but we talk baby talk some and everything else. But the best thing of all, Brylin is very dependent on everybody. She can't, you know, you set something in front of her, she can get it in her mouth and that kind of thing. But you have to feed her and you have to change her diaper and, you know, you got to dress her. And if she goes anywhere, you got to take her, and you can't let her crawl when you're out in public and everything else, because, you know, you don't want that been on that floor. So, you know, it's like, she's very dependent. The other day, I was working on my sermon and this message, and she crawled up, and she started hitting Pawpaw in his leg. And, of course, I turned and, you know, see, I buy you all. And I said, sure. Picked her up in my arms, and, of course, when I picked her up in my arms, she knows how to get things out of me. She just laid her head right there, and I about melted a gazillion times over. And God said to me, I just, you know, and I'm learning. God's teaching me lessons in dependence by being around her. And God said to me, you know what? This is what it's like. When you have no strength, when you have no ability to do for yourself, when you run out of everything that you are and you are totally dependent upon me, all you got to do is reach out. All you got to do is call, and I will get you through the valley. It may be one step at a time. It may be from one strength to the next strength to the next strength, but I will get you through the valley. I am with you in the midst of this. You are not by yourself. And this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know you do not have to be alone. If you feel impotent, if you feel like you have no power, you have no strength, you can't handle it anymore, I want you to know you don't have to be alone. God is with us. There is hope today for you and for me, because God is here, right here in the midst of everything. In the middle of your weakness, he is your strength. And when you're in darkness, he is the light. When you're in a season of trouble, he is your joy. When you're in the middle of pain, he is your comfort. When you're in the middle of despair, when you're full of fear, when you feel isolated and alone, he is your hope. We pass through the valley, and even though we're in the valley, we do not fear. Why? The psalmist said, because God is with us. The same God that's good on the mountaintop is good to us in the valley as well. We need to know him in the valley. Recognize that we won't be there forever, but he's going to see me through. We need to fix our mind on him. Fix our mind on the one who's promised to us that he will always be with us. Fix our mind on where we're headed, not where we are. We need to dig a well, a spring. We need to prepare for God to do something in our lives. We need to be prepared to go from strength to strength. God, give me strength for today. And then get up the next day and say, give me strength for tomorrow. I need it. Give me strength for one more step. My trust and my hope is in you. When you can't handle anymore, you lean harder into him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. You are Emmanuel, God with us on the mountaintops, but especially in the valleys. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, today, you know where we are. You know what we're going through, and you know where we've been. You know what our travels have been like. Some of us this morning are on the mountain, and we praise you for the mountaintops. We praise you for those times when we really feel that you are near us. But God, will you help us to be grateful for the valleys too? Because when we go through those valleys, those are times when we utterly are dependent upon you. Matter of fact, there are so many times, Father, in those valleys, we have to be dependent upon you. And it helps us to recognize that we can't do this by ourselves. It helps us to recognize that alone, our resources are not adequate. You made us for more, and you've provided a way for more. We've sung about it this morning. We've talked about it this morning. That rather than be in despair, God, you are our hope today. So, Lord, I pray for that one. Maybe you're here this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and you say, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with God. I've been depending on me and me alone. And, Father, I want God today, I want my Heavenly Father to know that I need him. I want him in my life. You know, right now, all you need to do is say, Lord, I want you. I repent. I'm going to turn and follow you. Forgive me for going my own way. Today, I want to follow you. I want your presence. I want to know that you're with me all the time. Forgive me. I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me, Lord. I want to follow you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if there's anybody this morning, pray that prayer. Say, Pastor, I just want to thank you. Father, I pray for those raised hands, for their birth into the kingdom this morning, for their trust in you. And God, I pray for us. There's some of us here this morning who've been followers of Jesus for a long time, but we've let worry and doubt and fear, we've let the valley overcome us. We've let the enemy swamp us, and today we feel overwhelmed. God, this morning, Father, today, would you please, Lord, help us to trust in you like a small infant, a one-year-old who raises their arms to you and just says, God, I need you. I can't do it on my strength today. Will you help that one who feels like that they can't go any further, that it's not over yet, this is not their destination, to keep moving? Will you help that one today, Father, who looks around and they're so overwhelmed with everything around them? Would you help them to fix their eyes on you this morning, God? Please, Lord, help us take our eyes off of what we see and put our eyes on you this morning. Help us to dig a well to prepare, Lord, for what you want to do in our lives and in our hearts. Help us today to go from strength to strength. Lord, give me strength to get through it today. And then tomorrow, Lord, when I get up, I'm going to need your strength again, and I'm going to pray again to give me strength to get through today so that I might go from strength to strength, and step by step, you'll walk me out of this valley. God, I pray there's no one here today who would feel alone, but all of us would know that God is with us. He is beside us, even when we're in our valleys. For we ask and pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, a couple of you that raised your hands and this morning, if you asked Jesus Christ in your heart and life, I think that's awesome and incredible. I want to talk to you if I can, and if there's anything I can do to help you on your journey, that's what we're here for. Because one thing I believe is I believe all of us can make it together. That together we can all come to get through the valleys, get through the difficult, get through the tough times in our lives, and live the kind of life that God created us to live, that Jesus died on the cross for us to live. I know you can if you'll trust in him. We're going to do something different during the Christmas season this morning to end our service. What I'd like to do is ask you to stand this morning. And I would just like today to speak a blessing into your life as part of our benediction. And then we'll be dismissed today. And then right after that, rather than be at the back door this morning, I'm just going to be up front here today. If there's some way that I can pray for you, or if you have a question, or if you ask Christ in your heart today, I'd love to talk to you for just a few minutes. So I'll hang around up front here for just a few minutes. All right. Father, just as God's word has sent us into the world to heal and redeem, may you send us into the world this day to be light and love and healing and hope. May God bless you as you go now to be a light for the world. May the grace and power of God, the Creator, the Redeemer and Sustainer, be upon you today and remain with you this week. May you always have hope, because even in the valley, God is with you. God bless you and keep you this week. Shake hands with somebody and be dismissed this morning. We'll see you next Sunday.